What if India's progress depends not on which party holds power, but on how its citizens think and act? This provocative idea forms the backbone of India Positive, where Chetan Bhagat challenges us to move beyond partisan battles toward pragmatic patriotism. After a decade of political experiments, from the soft PM of UPA to the tough PM of NDA, three undeniable truths have emerged. India is progressing, albeit slowly. Your personal life doesn't dramatically change under any particular government, and the party in power matters far less than we imagine for our individual circumstances. Think about it. The innovations that genuinely transformed daily life for average Indians over the past decade, smartphones, cheap data, UPI payments, rideshare apps, happened largely independent of political parties, driven instead by technological advancement and market forces. Remember the euphoria of 2014? When Modi secured his massive mandate, social media exploded with optimism about Aachen Din. Yet by 2019, that excitement had faded to shrugs. Ask yourself, how has your life fundamentally changed between different governments? Most struggle to identify meaningful differences beyond new currency notes and GST implementation. This realization can either make you feel helpless or liberated. After trying street protests in 2011 and voting for change in 2014, perhaps it's time to recognize that real transformation comes not from politics, but from ourselves. Being India Positive requires honest assessment of our achievements and failures. Economically, India has excelled with its digital ecosystem, startup culture, GST implementation, and 8% annual GDP growth. Yet, we failed in job creation, with 10-plus million young Indians entering the workforce yearly facing insufficient opportunities. We missed replacing China as a manufacturing hub due to land acquisition issues, inadequate labor reforms, and bureaucratic hurdles. Socially, we've avoided major caste conflicts and reduced high-level corruption. The decriminalization of Section 377 advanced LGBTQ rights, while digital empowerment has reached marginalized communities. Various social schemes have moderately reduced poverty and increased financial inclusion. However, Hindu-Muslim relations have deteriorated, with communal polarization becoming common. Our education system remains broken, limiting workforce readiness and driving students abroad at great cost to families and the nation. Progress in the coming decade requires double-digit GDP growth, manufacturing relocation to India, significant job creation, better communal relations, and a less polarized society, improvements we must demand regardless of which party governs. While demanding accountability from leaders, we must accept that national progress will be slow and non-linear. With both major parties showing limitations over multiple terms, no single ideology has all the answers. Rather than engaging in partisan debates, focus on three practical goals. First, enhance yourself through continuous learning and skill development. Develop competencies needed in today's economy: digital literacy, data analysis, effective communication, and business understanding. Instead of spending hours on social media arguments, invest in courses, reading industry reports, or learning new tools. Your personal growth strengthens India's human capital globally. Second, enhance the nation through responsible citizenship. Pay taxes honestly, avoid spreading misinformation, maintain India's secular fabric by building cross-religious friendships, and practice good civic sense. Consider volunteering with NGOs or participating in local governance. These small actions, multiplied across millions, create transformative change. Third, remain objective about politics. Develop a floating vote based on track records and policies rather than pledging lifelong party loyalty. The country needs citizens who evaluate issues based on data rather than partisan talking points. Read diverse news sources, fact-check claims, and engage respectfully with differing viewpoints. Social media has transformed how Indians engage with politics, creating new phenomena that shape public discourse. Two troubling groups have emerged at opposite extremes: Bhakts, blind followers, and virtue signalers. The bots are frustrated and complex-ridden Indian males hiding behind social media anonymity. Their blind devotion threatens democracy by placing individuals above institutions. Without criticism, leaders lose opportunities to course correct. True nationalism means putting country before individuals, even beloved leaders. Opposite them are virtue signalers, who display moral values to enhance their image rather than express genuine beliefs. Mention Hindu pilgrims killed by terrorists and they'll cry communal. They insist Hindus as a majority must never raise Hindu-specific issues, reducing everything to bad people hurting good people without context. Between these extremes, a battle for public opinion rages between the privileged class and aspirational India. Opinion-making was once monopolized by the privileged class, with good English, elite education, and connections. Economic growth and social media have now given aspirational Indians a voice. For productive national conversation, both sides must coexist. The privileged must accept they no longer monopolize opinion, while aspirational Indians must articulate views respectfully and remain open-minded. Indian politics operates on a fundamental equation, D plus M greater than H, where D represents Dalit slash lower caste voters, 40%, M represents Muslim slash minority voters, 20%, and H represents upper caste Hindu voters, 40%. This explains BJP's relatively brief governance periods in India's history. BJP can only win when the D plus vote splits or they field a charismatic candidate who attracts voters across groups. This divide persists because D and M feel persecuted by upper-class Hindus, while H aspires for a prosperous India. This conflict creates opportunities for divisiveness, as parties avoid condemning extremists to protect their vote banks. The solution is integration. D must engage with H beyond reservations, M must prioritize nation over religion, and H must stop imposing its culture. Only by embracing I for India over group affiliations can we build a united nation. Regarding the Ram Temple, I support building it peacefully in Ayodhya. While the 1992 violence was inexcusable, restoring a temple at Lord Rama's birthplace is reasonable and could symbolize religious cooperation, potentially creating jobs for both communities through tourism. For caste-based reservations, we should link benefits to income rather than caste, ensuring help reaches the truly needy while automatically phasing out as incomes rise. After a decade covering Indian issues, I'm convinced system improvement and personal growth must advance together. We should remain vigilant citizens while India's youth focus inward, developing themselves to overcome systemic challenges. Parliament's dysfunction demands attention, especially given our need for reforms to achieve 10% GDP growth. Solutions include establishing a cross-party agenda immune to disruption and implementing technology to maintain productivity during physical disruptions. I advocate an India positive mindset, seeking solutions rather than dwelling on failures, believing in both personal and national progress. Like in The Godfather, India's powerful operate through favor exchanges that multiply influence, creating alliances between politicians and businessmen that often betray voters' trust. The choice is yours. Remain caught in partisan battles or rise above them to focus on what matters, your growth and India's progress. By developing yourself while contributing positively to society, you become part of the solution. In a nation where institutional change comes slowly, the fastest path forward begins with changing ourselves. This balanced approach will improve your life while building the India we aspire to create.